Did you know that in 2002, there were no stainless steel water bottles for personal hydration? And that people were hardly talking about the link between plastic, our health, and the environment? That's hard to believe. We're going to be talking about that and about how one person and then one company saw the early warning signs and started cobbling together the first prototype with things he bought at a local hardware store in a place called Chico, California. Stay with me and learn more about how that effort changed an entire industry and indeed many of our lives. Welcome, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. And as always, we thank you for listening and for being a part of our world. We always do a big shout out to the companies that help make this podcast possible. And the sponsor for this show and a valued partner of Mrs. Green's World is Tank's Green Stuff, owned by none other than Jason Tankersley. Tank's Green Stuff natural and organic garden and landscape products are made from recycled landscape materials. In other words, they keep things out of the landfill. Their products bring them closer to their ultimate goal of building local industries based in a new sustainable green economy. They believe there is no better or simpler way to achieve that goal than to cultivate the foundations on which they rely. You can find out more about this truly sustainable and impactful business that it's up to all kinds of things by visiting them at tanksgreenstuff.com, and of course, I hope you will. So now on to a very exciting, informative, and hopefully impactful show. Please join me in welcoming Jim Osgood, the CEO of Clean Canteen, and those are with a K, Clean Canteen. It is a family-owned company on a mission. They introduced the first stainless steel BPA-free reusable water bottle in 2004 because they wanted a non-toxic solution to single-use plastic water bottles. And trust me when I say they have never looked back and have helped transform an entire industry. Jim, thank you so much for being here. You steer a very big ship, and it's going to be a really great show. So thank you for saying yes.
Oh, my pleasure, Gina. Looking forward to our hour together.
So really and truly, this is one of those shows where I found myself experiencing so much joy and feeling hope, because there are companies out there doing the right thing, the good thing for the planet, and truly making a difference. And that is certainly, in the case of Clean Canteen, a significant difference. Not only are you a certified B Corporation and members of 1% for the Planet, which we'll talk about later in the show, but your leadership and commitment to a healthy, sustainable, and socially just planet starts with your employees and your community. And I love that. It's like an inside job. It starts from the inside out. And I'd like to take the time to highlight just a few of their commitments. I want to do the praise right up front. You donate product to local organizations and schools to use in events and fundraisers. And anybody who's ever been on the nonprofit side knows just what that means when you're looking for much needed dollars. You provide water stations with free filtered water at local events and family-friendly celebrations. And this is huge because there's so much waste produced at those events typically, and you sponsor and participate in local events. In other words, you show up. And this one might be my favorite of all. It's hard to pick, especially when it comes to clean water stations at events. But Clean Canteen staff is given 24 hours of volunteer time annually to support diverse nonprofits in your community. That's 3 days a year, or the whatever way that they divide it up, to allow your employees to give back, to invest in their community, make them feel good about the work they're doing. So major praise for that act of kindness.
Well, thank you for that.
It's a lot. So before we get to how the company got started piece, on the chance that some of our listeners might not be familiar with your products, tell us about Clean Canteen, the retail business, and the products you sell.
Well, Clean Canteen started with a very simple concept, and that was to make a reusable water bottle, not out of plastic, but out of a safe and responsible material, being stainless steel. BPA-free, or not containing BPA, as you noted before, was really the impetus behind making this safe product. But it also allows us to make products that are not only high quality, but really built to last a lifetime. And so, you know, our mission is to create products that can be used over and over again. And truly, having what we like to say, a bottle for life. The more you use it, the more you really amortize all of the material and time and resources that we've invested in creating that bottle. And it's not just hydration. We're best known for our sports bottles and our insulated coffee bottles, but we are also well known for our food storage. Again, for us, anything that can help avoid or eliminate our dependency on single-use plastics, single-use water bottles, or single-use containers is our focus. And so we're absolutely committed to helping provide solutions that allow you to bring your own and bring your own reusable solution day in and day out.
And you should see me since I started, since you and I had a conversation last week, I'm going up to everybody and looking at their water bottles to see what kind it is. I'm like taking them and looking at the bottom and seeing if it's a clean canteen and then sharing the story. So that part's been fun. I think it's important next to move on to the why. How did it come about? Why did it come about? This company is a family-owned business with a very big mission, committed to making a difference. Why did they do it?
Well, first of all, I'm both humbled and flattered by the introduction. It's pretty powerful to hear those insights from another person, and it's important that we all reflect on what we do every day and how it matters. And we're in business to use Clean Canteen as a force for positive change. When we started the company, it was really inspired by a very simple problem. And we were founded by a gentleman by the name of Robert Seals, who was a local artist and entrepreneur and musician, who was inspired at a conference with the challenge of making a safe alternative to plastic water bottles. At the time, as you alluded to earlier, there was very little known about BPA and its effects on the human body. It's it's an endocrine disruptor. Mimics estrogen. Excuse me. And it is known to cause breast cancer, among other forms of cancer. And at this conference, Robert was inspired by this speaker who challenged the audience to make a better solution. And in this case, the speaker raised a plastic water bottle and said, "We need to make one of these out of one of these." And in her other hand, she held up a stainless steel frying pan, of all things. And Robert kind of pondered for the moment and said, "You know what? I can do that." And so he went to our local Collier's hardware store here in Chico, as you mentioned earlier, and cobbled together what we now know is the very first Clean Canteen. And the form of our classic Clean Canteen is very much the same form that it took some 15 years ago. And that really set in motion this mission to provide safe consumer products to begin with, and inspired a business around equipping the world with reusable solutions. And shortly thereafter, the world became more aware of the adverse effects of BPA and other endocrine disruptors. And mimicking estrogen is a horrible side effect of BPA. And it wasn't until Canada really brought it to the headlines of newspapers around the world that they banned BPA because of the health effects. And acting as a toxin in our body. So literally overnight, they removed all the plastic water bottles in their stores, and then they began looking for a replacement. And Clean Canteen, at the time, was the only stainless steel water bottle available to fill that void. And so the company went through extraordinary growth trying to meet this huge void of demand, because it hit the mainstream, and people were really concerned about the effects of BPA. And Clean Canteen was absolutely at the front, helping pioneer the awareness of that and then finding a safe alternative. It's interesting to note as well that our very first nonprofit partner was at the time known as the Breast Cancer Fund, and now is known as the Breast Cancer Prevention Partners. Were some of the leading scientists and doing the research to understand and communicate the adverse effects of BPA. And so this early partnership really coalesced in giving voice to this nonprofit partner, the Breast Cancer Fund, to help bring their good research to light so people had good science behind the decisions that they make every day, whether it's at retail, at the grocery stores, what have you. And literally overnight, Clean Canteen became in the spotlight. We couldn't make our product fast enough. And, of course, like any demand like this, there was a number of other companies that jumped in the mix to help serve that demand. And that really set in motion what we know today as really a pretty big change in behavior. It started as a concern out of avoiding BPA, and now there's a greater mindfulness about the other effects of single-use plastic, being plastic pollution in our streams and oceans. And that's become a very, very big part of our business as well, not just providing great water bottles that are reusable for people to use every day, but really running our business in a way and providing product solutions that help us stem the problem from the headwaters, as I like to say. You know, avoiding, buying single-use water bottles from the very beginning, not only is it as a economic benefit to buy a reusable bottle, but you keep it out of our waterways. You know, one out of four water bottles is recycled. That means three out of four end up in our landfills or in our oceans, and that's an extraordinary problem on a global basis. Clean Canteen has grown and prospered in the years following BPA, and we're proud to say that, you know, we're growing year on year, and now we're in over 51 countries around the world. Here we are, you know, humbly headquartered in Chico, California, where we have deep roots, but we have the good privilege of serving communities all over the world, 51 and counting, and so this problem exists everywhere, and we're working with partners in each of those countries and each of those communities to help provide education and awareness around the adverse effects of BPA and plastic pollution, and then providing, you know, clean canteen solutions to help them be equipped for everyday life so they can bring their own.
So I want to, like, pull out some really, really, really critical pearls of wisdom in parts of that message. And to me, what jumps out is my everyday experiences with people that now tease me if they see me and they have a water bottle in their hand and they quickly put it behind mm-hmm. their backs, or they say, oh, I refill mine. I've used this 8 times. And I'm working on a very kind and gentle response. And what I want to say to them is, do you know that what you have in your hand could give you breast cancer when it's a woman? Mm. And there is unquestionable proof. The data supports what you said about it mimics the in your breasts when they take tissue samples. It mimics mm-hmm. what you have in your water bottle. The more you use the water bottle, the worse it is because the chemicals leach. And Jim, I haven't researched this recently, but the last time I researched it, they did ban BPA. And basically, from what I understand, and I don't want to ever put out an untruth here, what the industry did in China is they substituted BPA for another chemical that hasn't been as widely researched and studied. So there is no upside to using a plastic water bottle, like none whatsoever. And it surprises me sometimes with the people that I think should know better and do better, that they don't have a reusable bottle. And as to the cost, the best investment you can make if it's an economic decision is to buy one bottle and reuse it instead of continuously having to, you know, supply yeah. water bottles to the family. So right. I just want to underscore and alert all of our listeners to press pause out there and let this sink in, that basically you wouldn't really eat a food if it had labeled this food causes cancer. Don't drink out of a water bottle. To me, it's that simple. So there's my...
Well, and I think...
Go ahead.
That's a great point, Gene. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's a great point. And just to add a little bit more color to that is that BPA is a plasticizer. It makes plastic pliable. It's an additive. It's a chemical. And there's other chemicals that we use in the world for a variety of things that we simply don't know as much about them as we do BPA. There's other BPX chemicals. Bisphenol A is just one of many. And so
right.
really, I as much as this is fearful, we really want to focus on education of people share with them insight and knowledge so they can make informed choices. And so, you know, the idea of refilling a plastic water bottle, and I'm not a plastic chemistry expert by any means, but what I do know is that plastics are made up of chemical compounds, and not knowing what's in your plastic water bottle is a concern. Conversely, we know what's in our clean canteen water bottles, and we make a deep practice of understanding that and sharing that. So anybody who would like to know can go to our website, can learn more about how we make our products, where we make our products, our standards for making our products, and so forth. So they can make an informed choice if clean canteen or another reusable water bottle is the right bottle for them. It's just very important that I want people to come from, decisions are made out of being motivated to do the right thing for themselves and for their family. And that, yes, it's fearful of, you know, the fear of the unknown, but we know so little about plastics. And we have such a long working history across many industries with stainless steel in particular, to know it to be a safe and reliable, durable, long-lasting product.
And I love that expression that fear is the same as excitement. So yes, be fearful and then get excited about making a change, because to know better is to do better. All those sayings stick around for a reason. It's like, yeah,
That's really scary,
but do something about it. And just don't ever use a water bottle. I went to an event the other night and it was just me, but all they had was water bottles, and someone offered me one and I just said, no, thank you. And I was really thirsty, but that's the kind of commitment you have to make to your health and to the planet. And I had water in the car. I didn't bring my bottle in, which was a mistake, but just it's just about a practice, and it's for your health and the health of the planet and our oceans. There's just no upside. So it's so clear from talking to you, from going to your website. I would encourage people, if you're having a bad day, if you think the sky is falling, if the world is closing in on you in these dark times for some of us, go to the website and see what screams and jumps off the page. And I'd like to just hone in for a minute on passion. I think it's really important to use the word, to live the word, and why it even might be more important than ever before. Your website, your products scream passion. Why is that so important? Educate us a little bit, because you're not afraid to use that word at all. It jumps off the website.
Yeah, and this is a very personal topic for me as well, that passion can have it can erode credibility if you use it in the business environment. And I'm quick to point out that I think it actually fuels credibility in our business, because we're very much a values-driven, mission-aligned company. And we're proud to talk about what we do and why we do what we do. That it's not just about making profit for us. It's about, you know, people, planet, and profit. It's about creating benefit for people in the places we live and play. In fact, those are specific words in our mission. And so our decisions every day are born from that DNA. It's not just the term we use to excite our employees at all company meetings. Passion, transparency, authenticity, those are words that we take very seriously and that that drive every single day of our work here at Clean and our work around the world. We believe in those words because of the importance of what we're setting out to do. This is an enormous problem, frankly, in the world. Plastic pollution is such a significant challenge that it's in the headlines now almost every day. When we first started the company, little was known about the garbage patch in the Pacific Gyre. Little was known about the adverse health effects and what was happening around the world on pristine beaches, or what was believed to be pristine beaches. There's evidence now saying that by 2050 there'll be more plastic pollution by weight in the ocean than fish. I mean, that's incredible, and that's mainstream headlines now. And so we need to be passionate about it. It's okay to be driven towards a sense of purpose, and that's what's so exciting about Clean, is that while we are very much a for-profit business, and we make no apologies about that, the importance of making profit is that we're a viable business. And by being viable and prosperous, we're sustainable. By being sustainable, we can continue to do the good work of taking care not only of our employees through enhanced benefits and a living wage, but also how we run our business around the world and being responsible with the scarce resources that we're so privileged to use in our business. We pride ourselves on being stewards of those.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in 30 seconds and we'll continue on with why passion and then talk about how that shows up for this unbelievable.
Please join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. You can also find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and SpeakUp Radio. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or others, please write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But now, back to our story.
And welcome back, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thank you for joining us and for being a part of our community. We're spending this hour with Jim Osgood, who is the CEO of Clean Canteen. Founded in 2004 by co-owners and brother-sister team, which I also love, Jeff Cresswell and Michelle Kalberer, Clean Canteen is a certified B Corporation. And they do not only create the highest quality reusable products on the planet, they work hard to bring benefit to the people and places they touch. And they do everything they can to keep single-use waste from trashing the world. From where I sit, they're all about hope, possibility, and change. And Jim, thank you for being here to represent this truly amazing company. You can tell that my passion is coming through. It's like I get to cover a lot of really not so fun stuff. So this was like a gift to me. But let's segue into what you were saying, because you talked about it has to be people, profit, planet. And part of that is just, there are two big examples to me, and I want to read this quote from the website, unless you have a thought to share from before we went to the break. There's never a good time for a break. Did you finish your thought?
No, I was being passionate, so there you go.
Yes, there you go. That's right.
I could talk all hour about being passionate because of the what we're trying to do. So
yeah, please, did they ever find the right leader for this this next generation of Clean Canteen? So sometimes quotes jump out for me so strongly on a website that I have to read them. I don't do it a lot, but this one did. The benefit part of our mission is a big deal to us. We use our business as a force for good in everything we do. Like, who says that? That is like, I'm like, yes, I love it. Disruptors for good. From the products we make to the nonprofit partnerships we forge to the way we show up in our communities and the positive impact we have on the world. So there you go. I just want to copy it and put it on our website, even though we have some really neat stuff on ours. So the company values are everywhere, from the website to the products you sell to the way you treat and appreciate your own employees. And I love to always highlight when a company is a B corporation, mm-hmm. a B corporation. It's a huge commitment to even get that designation. And it really speaks mm-hmm. volumes to me about the social justice piece of sustainability. So can you share with us briefly what is a B Corp and why that path was chosen by Clean Canteen?
Absolutely. B Corp is a certification status or standard that is provided by B Lab, which is a nonprofit organization. It's a global organization, and regardless of the business that you're in, whether it's a service or a manufacturer or whatever business you're in, you can become B Corp certified. So what is that? B Corp certified is a set of best practices that represent responsible business. And it's much like the ISO standard, if you will, of responsible business practice. And what we mean by that is that it is a third-party audit of your business, your practice, how you run your business, how you take care of your employees, diversity in the workforce, giving back to community, the impact you have in your supply chain, how you go about investing in your business. All of these are criteria that make up about a 200-question survey that is truly an audit, and you must reach a threshold of 80 points or better in order to achieve a certification status. And that simply represents to yourselves and to the world that you meet the threshold for responsible business practice. Now, that's just the starting point. And you don't have to become B Corp certified to be able to run your business more responsibly. You can actually go to their website and take the mini impact assessment survey free of charge, just to see how well you're doing. And what this does is really shines a light on what you're doing well and where you can make improvements. And it's all about continuous improvement. For us, it wasn't about a score. We were already running our business responsibly, but we really wanted to ensure that we kind of weren't drinking our own Kool-Aid, that by third-party standards, how are we doing? By best practice of responsible business practice, of environmental standards, social standards, how are we doing? And excitingly enough, it allowed us to identify areas with just a little bit more work, mostly documentation. We were already well within the standards of being B Corp certified. So it really allowed us an objective assessment of just how good we were doing. And then it became a way for us to continuously improve how we were doing, where we can make improvements, where we need to sustain and support that work to maintain that level of a positive impact. And we first became certified in the fall of 2012. Every 2 years, you get recertified. So we are recertified in 2014 and 2016. Every year, we've improved our score. Again, not the score in and of itself is not the goal, but objective measured improvement to ensure that we're continuously doing better and being better for our employees and better for the world with and through our business practices and treading lightly on the world with how we run our business as well.
And it, to me, it's like I know a lot about becoming a B Corp, and it's rigorous. I mean, that's the word that would come up for me. It is rigorous, and it's transparent. So if you want to know about a company, and if they're a B Corp, they are answering things about their performance, about their accountability, and their transparency, and it's probably the kind of challenge that your company would relish. But just to everybody out there, take a look at it, because it's all that's right about the world. And does it become somewhat of a guiding principle? Does it help with the foundation? I mean, you guys had a lot going on that was right in anyway, but does mm-hmm. this help, mm-hmm. you know, put some guidelines in place for steering the good ship?
Absolutely, and part of our commitment to B Corp is to help inspire our business partners to also become B Corp. You're absolutely right. It is about transparency. So we want to know how well we're doing. We want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we are by far not perfect, but we're committed to doing right and doing well and continuously improving. And so, I mean, you can go on the B Lab website right now and you can look up our score across all the different criteria. And any other certified B Corp, you can see how well they're doing. And what's really been amazing is that this is inspiring the consuming population to favor brands and companies that are B Corp, because it represents a level of through the transparency, it allows them to be better informed about the brands that they support and they purchase and so forth. So there's very much an economic benefit here as well. This is not just about doing the right thing. It's about really, I think, the new contemporary business model, that doing the right thing well makes the business more sustainable, more viable. It reduces risk of things in the future. For example, we know everything about our supply chain, down to the material certification and the chemistry of our new powder coat, for example. We know the chemical makeup of that, so we know exactly what goes into our product. That reduces risk in being surprised with something that maybe we don't know anything about. So the question I would pose is that if you're buying products and brands that aren't certified B Corp, what do you know about them? Is it right for you? Is it right for your family? I'm not trying to infuse fear. I just think that the world should be informed, and I think that all brands should be transparent. So we work with our partners. If they're not certified B Corp, then why? And then how can we help you become B Corp? We also practice that in our business as well with working with other like-minded companies, because those shared values make for long-term partnerships and relationships as well. Just like any personal relationship, a business relationship that is viable for the long term, steeped in shared values, you're able to have a greater impact working together. And we're really proud of the company we keep, both for other for-profit businesses as well as nonprofit businesses. We're able to have a greater positive impact on the world working together because of that like-mindedness.
You know, I sit here and I just want to like shout out to everybody, the myth, explode that myth that if you do everything that Clean Canteen is doing, it just kills your bottom line, or you can't be profitable, or going green costs too much money. That's just not the case. It's not the truth. And you're the truth spoken into word about that. And it just, it bothers me when people say that, because if you do a little bit of digging and do a little bit more research, you find amazing examples of companies like yours where I call it the green trifecta. It's everybody wins. And what a world we would have if everybody signed up for that commitment. Perfect segue for that is, it's like ding, 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 here's another one, everybody. But the one commitment to 1% for the planet, tell us what that's all about. And again, your association with them, what that brings to the message for manufacturers. And was it something that you committed to from the beginning? Tell us about your participation in 1% for the planet.
Sure. 1% for the planet is a nonprofit organization headquartered in Burlington, Vermont. That's been around, for 14 years now. And 1% is an organization that is a community of businesses and now individuals. There's both business memberships and individual memberships of companies and individuals who have committed 1% of their sales, not profit,
right,
1% of
right.
their top line sales.
That's huge.
To qualified, and qualified nonprofit organizations who are focused on environmental issues. And there's a wide array of environmental issues, but there's again, 1% ensures that once a business makes that 1% commitment, that they are held accountable to that. And conversely, the nonprofit organizations that are the beneficiaries of that giving also meet standards for being legitimate recipients doing the work that aligns to environmental issues. And so 1% for the Planet was co-founded by Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, has set in motion a responsible business practice and giving that goes outside of the outdoors. It actually cuts across all industries and all forms of business practice. And recently, within the last year, 1% for the Planet added individual membership. So an individual can commit 1% of his or her annual earnings or net worth through 1% and either align the giving to organizations they're particularly fond of, or can go into a general fund to help support those nonprofit organizations doing that important work.
Yeah, I'm my enthusiasm's coming through. But really, does everybody get that? It's like, do you understand what it means? And when it's a company your size, do you have any sense for how much that ends up to be in dollars, either annually or collectively? I don't want to put you on the spot, but like, you're the CEO, so that's probably in your mind.
It's all about transparency, right? So we've been members since 2008, and you know, we're a humble, family-owned, employee-owned company in Chico, California. And in 2017, we passed our $2 million of giving since becoming a member. And we're very, very proud of that. $2 million committed to these important nonprofit organizations to help fund their projects, to help fund their operating budget. And it's not just about the dollars either. It's not just about writing the check. Those three volunteer days a year, paid time away, are a component of how we engage in these nonprofits. The giving financially is just one component. We also are very active in giving voice to the marketplace, building awareness of these important nonprofits, as well as encouraging our employees to give back either to these 1% for the Planet nonprofits or organizations that are important to them. It's about an active relationship. It's much more than just writing the check, but certainly the funding is an important component of that. And I'm really proud now that I'm a proud member of the 1% for the Planet Board of Directors. And I, too, am an individual member. So, you know, I guess I'm putting my money where my mouth is, that I think it's that important. And not just for Clean Canteen, but I think it's important to support the things you believe in and to be a part of things you believe in. And Clean Canteen certainly represents that for me.
And why hasn't Mrs. Greensworld had them on the show? I know why, because we didn't know Jim Osgood. Now we have an in, and I'll talk to Kelly about this would be a great show to cover. Sometimes those things are so obvious to me, and when you're talking, I'm thinking, why? I've known about them since we started, and some of our other, you know, the companies we've interviewed. And I think it's really important to emphasize that you don't have to be a big company like Clean Canteen. You can be a company. I've read about some companies that own a bike shop, that, you know, that they have little cottage industries, because collectively every single nickel counts, every single penny counts, and it matters. So don't think this is a big thing where you have to write a big check. Every check matters when you're doing the work that 1% of the planet is doing. So I'd like to go into a little bit more detail. There are, you know, terms that we throw about there, and I am guilty of it, but you have a commitment to sustainability. It's obviously at the core of everything you do, but you have it spelled out, and you have, you address things like quality control, cultural and social resources, community and innovation. Can you go into each one of those a little bit and why they are an integrated approach to a sustainable and socially just company and product?
Well, it starts with a really basic premise that everything's connected, that it's not a functional role for us to have a sustainability department. While we're organized that way, just for the sake of organizing ourselves as a company, it's these priorities, these values are woven into every aspect of our business, whether it's the sales function, the finance function, our supply chain, our quality department. Our what we call environmental and fair labor shows up in everything we do, and that's the cornerstone of how we run our business. And so it's not just one person's job to ensure we're being responsible and sustainable. It's every single employee at the company, it's every single partner has this mindset of being a steward of the scarce resources that we use to run our business, to be mindful of, you know, is this new product really necessary? We're not in the business of making a bunch of stuff and more stuff is better. We want to make the right products that solve real problems and do that in a meaningful, informed way. So when we think about an alternative to our current products, we literally measure the energy, water, and waste environmental impact of that existing product, and evaluate alternatives to say, are we doing better? It's not just, oh, that's a cool new product, but is it actually better for not just our customers, but better for the world? And if it's not, why not? The reality is that by being aware of how we run our business across all functions, we do a much better job of being a better business and a better brand and making better products and serving our customers better. So our quality system is aligned to that because we have robust processes and reporting of how we're running our business. And so when something needs to be improved, we can go in and quantify it and make a difference. When we have an opportunity to work with a partner, is that partnership going to create something new and better? It's where we start the conversation. It's not a criteria that ends the conversation. So being purposeful in the reasons why behind we're doing something is very much one of the first questions we ask. It's very simple in its concept. It's very complex in its execution.
Yes.
only because it's not just one person's job. It's not my job to profess the importance of these values to all of our employees. In fact, it's part of our training and onboarding with new employees. And in fact, when we recruit new employees, it's the magnet that we become. We want people to want to be here, to be motivated, inspired by how we run our business and what that means to them in terms of their journey with their work. It's not just the job. It's part of attracting and retaining the best and brightest folks, regardless of the position, because of what we do, how we do, why we do in our business. So again, it cuts across every single role in the company, and everyone understands how what they do every day relates to treading lightly with our business and having the greatest positive impact with and through our business.
It's about connecting all those really important dots. And another thing that jumped out of the website for me is I loved it because you're one of the companies that actually states that you're politically involved instead of dark money and trying to hide it. It's huge for me. And regardless of what that political involvement looks like, to me, it's courageous to say that you are. It's a part of your cultural and social resources. So just expand on that for just a little bit.
So we believe that if you don't stand for anything, you stand for nothing.
And, love it. Love it. Did everybody hear that? It's like, come on, people.
Well, and it's in times of adversity when that gets really challenged. And so when we believe in it, we do believe in the purpose of our business and, you know, being good stewards of our environment and inspiring young folks to fall in love with the outdoors when you protect the things you love. And so inspiring young folks to want to be, one, immersed in the outdoor, fall in love with it, and become advocates and stewards is very important to us. So that naturally translates to conserving those public lands. And we believe very strongly in clean water, clean waterways, and having, you know, as much access to public lands for generations to come and being stewards of that. And so when we're talking about, you know, I'm not a politician, but I have an opinion and we have an opinion and a position as a company around Clean Water Act and clean water rule that was under review recently, we offered our business voice that it's not just something we feel or believe. It translates directly to the vitality of our business. If people don't enjoy the outdoors, they're going to be less apt to go in the outdoors and be equipped for the outdoors. And in a generation or two, it's going to contract into something that is no longer available for us. And again, I don't want to profess fear concerns here, but it's very important that we protect the things that we believe in. And so we're active in advocating awareness, education, good science around the realities of clean water, the impact and access to free, drinkable, swimmable, fishable water, and protecting the land so that we can all, you know, bring our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids to those places that we all enjoyed growing up. And another key part of that is the effects of plastic pollution, which is a very direct correlation to the reason of our business, that if we can diminish or eliminate the dependency on single-use plastic, less will be made, less will be thrown away, less will make its way into the oceans. And that's a extraordinarily huge problem that it's not too late. I'm actually quite optimistic about our future, because we're getting such a groundswell of advocacy and support. It's not just our voice. It's having our voice join all other voices and hopefully inspiring people who love Clean Canteen and are willing to step up for these issues. We can join efforts together to help make a positive impact together for all those things that we hold, you know, and so dearly to our each of us.
And there are things that we can do as consumers to support that mission. And it's things like sign petitions. It's things like know what the local ordinances are around plastic bag use. There are things that calls to action that make us empowered to be those changes. And to me, when you're talking about things like the Clean Water Act, one of the biggest shocks to me when I started my journey as Mrs. Green was when I found out that natural gas companies were actually are exempt from the Clean Water Act standards. Now, you talk about political, which means it involves their fracking and their ability to just go in and whatever happens, you know, they're not covered by the Clean Water Act. Those rules don't apply to them. And when I knew that, how many people know that? Like, and what does that even mean? Well, it's really important to know that and to become politically involved. And it's not a political involvement along party lines. These, to me, are things that are political that affect the quality of your life and your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives. So there's a reason there for where there's such a call to action. And it really doesn't even take that much courage to stand up. You don't have to go marching in front of City Hall. There's lots of quiet, impactful things you can do. So community and innovation.
Well, it's important, Gina. I want to add something to that, Gina, because I think this is a very important topic.
I do, too.
And you really sparked something in time. It's all those things you just summarized. But what I've learned through you know, my foray into the political arena is that politicians pay attention to those who vote with their wallets. And your advocacy, all your listeners, their advocacy of voting with their wallet, buying brands, buying products from companies they want to support in ways that translate to these very issues is just as important to affecting these issues as signing a petition. And in some ways, it may be more effective because those that are doing harm to the environment will become less and less popular, less and less consumed, less and less demand. Therefore, they will simply go away on their own accord. I'm not promoting Clean Canteen. I'm promoting brands that all your listeners care about, that share their own personal values. It becomes their own personal brand. And so make your voice active by the choices you make every day. Buy products that matter to you, buy from companies and brands that matter to you. And that will in total create a groundswell of influence that is very, very powerful. So we can never lose sight of the importance of voting with our wallets. And as much as I hate admitting that, I do think that it's part of this holistic effort of affecting change. Every single day is a choice. Make informed choices every day, whether it's on political issues, companies you believe in, having those thoughtful conversations with your friends. Every one of those is a ripple. And that little ripple turns into a wave. That wave turns into really a movement.
And where you go to eat, what restaurants you're supporting, even if it's a chain, which I can't even remember the last time I was in a chain because we have so many great locally owned restaurants. You get to know your farmer. You get to know the owner. Who doesn't like to go to Cheers where you walk in and people do know your name and the waiters and the wait staff hug you? I mean, if you're like me, that's a thing. I love it. I love to feel welcome and you know where they got their eggs and you might know where the farm is and hopefully, you know, I shouldn't be using eggs as an example because I have so many friends on me to become vegetarian. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress too. But anyway, it does vote with your wallet is probably the most impactful thing we can do on a daily basis. And it's not hard. It's not like a lot of homework. There's a thing called Google and all you have to do is frickin' Google it and you'll find out about what kind of company you're supporting. And it's in every area, your food, the products you buy and your clothing. I mean, I've done so many specials, features on the filthy fashion industry and supply chains there. And it's a slave industry by far, but we're making progress because people are buying clothes that are sustainably and socially just put together for us. So no $5 t-shirts at Target because they're not.
There you go.
It's okay to say that.
Well, yeah, you're asking your listeners to look to the label, to look for the 1% for the planet mark, look for the B Corp certified,
look
for the non-GMO, look for the free trade. You know, you don't have to Google those things. That can be exactly right in front of you. You can make that choice. And like you were saying earlier, you can choose, you know, not to consume. That's a choice as well. That's super powerful. I think that we all believe that we have less power than we really do. And I think it's incredible to change that mindset to know your listeners have the most power and influence. It's incredible the influence that someone can have walking up to a salesperson in a store saying, do you have any of? products that are members of 1% for the Planet or certified B Corp or organic or what have you. And believe it or not, if they don't, that makes its way back to the people who are making buying decisions for that particular retailer. Again, voting with your wallet, asking those questions, be informed, be empowered. It's super, super powerful.
It feels really great. And one of the another great example that gives me hope that Mrs. Green's World was on the bandwagon really early is about straws. Mm-hmm. Just one person had to tell me that you use 500 million straws in the United States every single day, 500 million. And now I'm doing presentations.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's disgusting. And I call straw use as a gateway to consciousness because I do believe that. If you understand just what it takes, it's one of the most labor-intensive products on the market today, single use in the landfills and totally unnecessary. And again, to your point, Jim, it makes me excited and encouraged because it's not a day or two that doesn't go by that there are not things, good news about in my feeds about entire cities banning them, entire airlines, cruise ships. I mean, this is a ripple mm-hmm. effect. And it's because people started saying, no, thanks. I don't want a straw. And it's an innovation and a change that's really important for our planet. Just that change alone. And it's so easy. Who needs a straw anyway? And if you do, get a reusable one and carry it in your purse like I do. I don't
Absolutely.
Know if you have
you know,
a purse, Jim, but
well,
I mean, carry it somewhere. Just do without it.
I actually have a backpack, and I when I travel the world, and I do with our work, and I've had the good fortune to travel personally as well, I bring all of my reusable solutions with me, including straws. And
me too.
And what I find super inspiring, not just my kids, but I have such hope for our future because it's really the next generation that is driving this new mindset of mindfulness. When I see teenagers or you know college students or young adults say no, thank you for the straw, or they have that conversation with their weight person to say, did you know that we throw away 500 million straws in the U.S. alone every single day? That's a conversation. That's one of those ripple
yes,
effects.
Yes, it
and
shocks
when I
people.
See it in action, it's so powerful. Yeah, but not everybody knows that.
No.
People know. I believe that the world is actually smarter than we give ourselves credit for. And when you share those insights, credible insights, meaningful insights, it changes behavior. And that's what we're all wanting to see is people making informed choices. And there's times where maybe you have to use that single-use water bottle or that single-use straw. But they're getting less and less frequent because there's a greater mindfulness, and that mindfulness allows you to be prepared. Like you just change the way you go about your day so you're equipped to avoid having to use that single-use straw, a water bottle, or a plastic cup.
It's and I want to just keep underscoring what you said. Don't forget how much power you have as a consumer. It's the ultimate power. It's just like Yoda. I have ultimate power. It's in the purse. It's really in the purse. And I am conscious of that every time I make a purchase, even the ones that I feel a little guilty about. But that's happening less and less sometimes. But at least when I do that, I'm conscious that I'm doing it. And it's not an unconscious, just go in and buy this. And it even goes to the kind of chocolate you're buying. It was your chocolate bar, you know, farmed by plantations that really and truly abduct and keep slaves. That's a thing. That's the truth. That's you don't have to really dig too deeply to find out that your chocolate is dirty or clean. And companies are making great strides there. They put so much pressure on Hershey as a global campaign, and they're changing their sourcing practices. So we matter, and our votes count, and our purchases count. Okay, two more things. We're not going to have time to cover it all, Jim, and it makes me really sad, so I'm going to sleep ahead. So your products are really set apart from others. You have Clean Coat, you have Climate Lock Vacuum Insulation, you have versatile construction, safe, healthy materials, strong as steel guarantee. You referred to a lot of that throughout the conversation. But here's the one I want to talk about. So that's what we're going to skip to. If we have time, we'll go back to each one of those. But you're raising awareness, and you're not just making bottles. You're changing the world. How so? How do you focus on issues that align with your mission and the pillars, and what are you doing so that people understand just how deep and wide this goes with Clean Canteen?
Oh my gosh, that's an hour long conversation.
You have about five minutes.
Oh wow, where do I start? it does involve essentially all the facets of things we've been sharing over the last 30-40 minutes. From the products we make to make sure that they are truly built to last a lifetime. Every bottle, the more you use it, the more value it creates. Meaning that the important resources that went into making that bottle have more benefit, more purpose. Every time you refill it, you amortize those resources over yet another use. I'm trying to think of the best way to answer that question, because it's such a deep topic. We're not about making products. Yes, we manufacture and sell products, but our products are simply the vehicle that deliver the promise of our brand. And our brand and our company is why we're here. Today we make hydration products and food products. In the years to come, we hope to expand that into other solution-focused offerings. It's not about just making and selling stuff for us. It's really about something that's bigger than any one of us. And certainly that's why I'm here, and I have the great privilege of serving this organization and leading this organization. That there's we talked about words we use to describe our business. Passion was one we mentioned earlier. Purpose is absolutely one of the important words that we describe our business and why it matters. People walk through our front door every day with a sense of purpose, and that's incredibly empowering. It's incredibly powerful for their own personal journey as folks that have joined Clean as employees and partners that work with us to support our business. Our work is still very much in its infancy. We've been around for 14 years or so, but I've characterized us as kind of in our gangly teenage years, that we're still growing. There's some systems and processes that we're still improving as a company, but we're doing better every single day, and we hope that not only what we do every day matters, but we hope to inspire other businesses, other individuals to start new businesses that are motivated and run in the same fashion, that hopefully by us being so transparent with what we do, we can encourage other businesses to really take a strong look at how they're running their business and take measured, specific, tangible steps to do better. And doing so, we're fulfilling our mission, that it's not just about what we do day in and day out. It's about inspiring other businesses to join this community. Not just be part of 1%, not just be part of Certified B Corp, but use their business as a force for positive change. Take care of their employees, take care of their communities, take care of everyone who's affiliated with their business. And in doing so, we're going to make a huge change together. So we really want to be a source of inspiration for other people, other consumers, other employees, other business leaders to simply do better. And wherever we can, we're willing to have those conversations, share what we've done, and if that can help equip and accelerate the learning process and not have to reinvent the wheel, then help other businesses become successful sooner. We love doing that. We have countless stories of how we've helped inspire other businesses do just that.
And you think locally and you act globally and you act locally. I mean, it's both. It's like a full circle where you support organizations in your community. You care about and support any narrative around clean water, about clean oceans. You mentioned those about mm-hmm. breast cancer. It's on the mm-hmm. rise. We are in the year 2018 and breast cancer is significantly on the rise, and you're doing something about it. You care about American rivers, and I care that we have 1 minute left in this show. And it's like, what the heck is up with that? And if you'll notice, I killed the second break. It's like, no, we need that 30 seconds too mm-hmm. to hear about what Jim Osgood has to say. about Clean Canteen. You can find everything out about this company by visiting Clean Canteen. And remember, it's with K's in both cases. And our July 31st show, another one about one woman named Agnes Howry, who gave $50 million to the University of Arizona. And we are going to be highlighting a program with Dr. Greg Garfin from the University of Arizona and Adele Monteblanco, Hotspots for Heat Resilience in Border Cities, a pilot, another example of doing good for everyone by doing the good thing, the right thing. Jim, this has been delightful, and time really does fly when you're having fun. Make it a great green, intentionally lived week, everybody. Know your purchases. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina.